open with prayer tonight. Is there anybody else that I'm unaware of? All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Father, we thank you for our lives. And Father, first off, we pray for Miss Trisha. And Lord, I pray right now that you touch her body, heal it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help her to relax as well, Father. Help her to put those things that are on her mind that are weighing heavy, to set them aside and not stress over them. And Father, we pray that you also be with Miss Sherry. And Lord God, give her wisdom and words to speak to her brother as he goes through this difficult time in the possibility of losing his wife. And Father, I just thank you right now that your hand is upon him, Father, and it is... He says goodbye, maybe for the last time. Father, that your love surround him in this situation. And Father, we also pray for Miss Jenny and ask, Lord God, that you bring her some comfort and some ease into her body, Father, as her back is healing and her body is healing. Lord God, I know how painful back problems can be, but let alone what she's already experienced. So touch her right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you use me tonight. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, the words that you would have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you can open your Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read a couple parables here. We'll go to verse 26. These are the words of Jesus. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus is talking about the kingdom. What makes up a kingdom? People. You can't have a kingdom without people. So he's talking, not only is he talking about the overall kingdom, it kind of breaks down and shows us individually ourselves. See, we get saved and the first thing we think we've got it is change overnight. We've suddenly got to be able to walk on water the next day. And we disappoint ourselves when we can't walk across a mud puddle. See, a lot of people over time, they've done that themselves. They build themselves an expectancy of where they should be. We do this in a lot of things in life. Some people have set goals. By the time they were 30, they wanted to have this done. By the time they were 40, they wanted to have this done, and 50, and so forth. And then at the end of their life, when they realize they haven't achieved half of what they thought, which is there anybody that has achieved everything you thought you would have by this time? Probably not, because there's so many things we put on ourselves. And we fall short in those areas. But the thing is, with Christ, we seem to forget one thing. He just related the kingdom, again, people, to a seed. Now, he said that it's as if it came up overnight. We know that a seed does not come up overnight, does it? It takes a little bit of time. Let's go ahead and read the next parable in verse 30, which I forgot to give her 31 and 32 back there. Katie. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Again, Jesus started to relate the kingdom of God to a seed that is sown. It starts out tiny. That's our faith. You know, we've talked about mustard seed faith, but here we're talking about the change that starts in us. It starts out small and tiny. John chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said that a seed has to go into the ground and it has to die. The seed's got to go into the ground and die. First off, dying in and of itself is a process. Because if the seed were to die instantly, the process that needs to happen would not happen. It would just be rotten. But because God knows that, He starts taking the little bits at a time. He doesn't come in and say, okay, Phil, here's the type of person you are. I'm just going to totally take everything away from you and take your character and all that away from you. Well, that leaves Phil wide open and empty. He's lost. But what God does is he comes in and he starts changing things as we start dying to ourselves. And that's what he's talking about here. Unless that seed first dies, it stays a seed. It's just a grain. Now, a seed can rot, but it's got to die. And once that seed dies, then it can start bringing forth life. So it's a process even in dying. And by the way, there is no set formula on how long it takes for a person to change. You might be a 5-year person, 10-year, 20. It does not matter. I'm going to show you something that I hope will encourage you in that fact. So then Jesus said that this seed falls into the ground, and when it comes up with a blade. Well, the seed has died to itself, and it's starting to reproduce. That's where a lot of us are. We've died to ourselves. We said, Christ, I will serve you. God, I want to follow you. And as we die to ourselves, we begin to bring forth some life. We aren't reproducing yet. That is a maturity, because when you're at that point, you're harvested. And your seed goes out elsewhere. But we are growing up. I prefer to look at it as more like the mustard seed as opposed to a corn or wheat myself, because the plant is dead once you harvest. Whereas mustard seed can continue to produce. So Jesus said, it shoots up forth with a leaf first, and then it grows up with a stalk. And it takes time to grow. You know, it takes a few years once you've got an apple tree or something, it takes a couple years for you to actually start producing fruit. And so we start growing. We got to get stronger. We've got to be pruned. That's the part people don't like. Oh, but I was so big and I was, you know, I had lots of shade. You're not a shade tree. You're an apple tree. And God knows that if he prunes us and trims back those branches that are just sucking the life out of us, we'll grow. Our fruit will be better. You can always look and drive by and see orchards that people neglect. And especially the ones that people don't know what they're doing when it comes to pruning. You can't just go cut all the tree limbs off that you want. There's strategic limbs, and there's actually a process to do it if you want to produce fruit. Good fruit, yes. Eventually you will produce fruit, but it may not be what you were wanting. So you got to be pruned properly. So God comes in and he prunes us. And this is a continual process. You know, when the children of Israel possessed the land, they were told, if I remember correctly, for each vineyard, 7 years. They weren't to eat, partake of it for 7 years. They were to grow it. They were prune it for 7 years. I see people, they get a couple grapes, and man, they're happy. But God wasn't happy. He said, you see fruit coming on, you cut that fruit off. He wanted the vine. He was more interested. Listen, he's more interested in you as an individual than he is about you producing a bunch of fruit. Because you will produce the fruit. He knows that. But when he's trying to grow you and trying to train you, he's more interested in you as a person. Each time he prunes you, it's an individual thing. For Gloria, it might be one thing. For me, it might be another. For Bobby, it's something totally different. Just because we're different people. And God knows how to do that. God knows what process. I might be dealing with something now. Bobby's already passed. And vice versa. Just because God knew that it was at certain times that we needed to deal with them. I was talking to a friend the other day. And he finally came to a conclusion that he has a drinking problem. Which, you know, I praise God at that. The first thing I think is my friend needs to recognize that there's a God. To which he has promised he will read the book of John. I said, I want you to do me one thing. Read the book of John. I don't care. You just read the book of John over and over and over until something starts sinking in. But anyhow, I told him, I said, for me, God dealt with me and the alcohol immediately. I said, but there's been so many other things that I have had to work out by fear and trembling, as the Bible puts it, and the fire. I said, I've had to work out a lot of things. And I said, to be honest with you, I could not have sat here with you and talked with you as a friend without judging you had God not been working on my heart. Because I had gotten like that. I had gotten religious and stale when it came to that. And he said, that's why I ignored. He said, I saw you several times over the last 10 years. He said, but I would try to hide from you because I was afraid of what you'd think. And I said, this has been God ordained for this purpose because I have changed. Even as far as a couple years ago, I would have judged him on that, thinking I wasn't. Isn't that something? I'm not judging you, but yet I really am. And you know, and I, it's only been in the last several years that I've realized I can't control anybody. I have a hard enough time controlling myself. And God, I mean, I run scenario. You know, I've told you about the whole talking to myself and running scenarios. I have run some mean scenarios by, and I thought, oh man, I wouldn't have handled that well at all. And so God has been changing me. We've been growing. And as each one of us grows, then he says, all right, you're ready to start producing fruit. You're big, you're strong. But God doesn't worry. See, that's the thing. We want the sheep to go out and start producing sheep immediately. Sheep, baby sheep don't know how to raise up baby sheep. That's all there is to it. Mature sheep raise baby sheep. But we've got it in our mind that we've got to push people. The purpose of the church as a whole, that we're in here, there's this whole group of people in here. We've got varying degrees and ages of believers. And I mean spiritually. And it goes across the gamut, natural ages too. But spiritually, we're all over the place. And if a new believer comes in, guess what? We've got them covered. We've got those who are newly converted. We got those who have been saved for 20, 30 years now, who are more mature, who can help them in those areas. They can help them to certain levels, and then it goes to somebody else. So Jesus has been telling us that this tree will grow. That it grows to be the greatest, and it provides shelter for the birds, and it provides shade for man, and it produces its own fruit. And it's one of the mightiest trees of all. But it started with something tiny. The Bible tells us not to despise the small beginnings, the tiny things. But yet when we look at ourselves and we say, oh, but I failed. I only took a partial step. Isn't that a partial step further than you were yesterday? If you've got a long journey to go, one step is a step further than you were before. But you see, we don't look at it like it. We judge ourselves. We say, I failed. Recognizing that you have failed the test is a step. Because all the times before, you blamed it on somebody else. Instead of saying, it was me who did it. I could blame all I want on Phil. And I'm telling you, man, if I could have found, if you hadn't been on the other side of the parking lot, that sledgehammer would have been blamed on you. If you will notice, the one window is broken. That would be myself. If he hadn't had his back turned and walked on the other side of the parking lot, I would have blamed it on him somehow. But I had to stand there and accept the blame for my own action. And shake my head in disbelief. And if you don't believe in Murphy's Law, it's real. By the way, I just about busted the other one with another hammer from above, even after we moved it into a safe place. The weird thing, I just sat up there. I thought, oh, dear God, I just about busted the other window. I'll never live this down with my wife. Yeah, it'll all be new glass. So God has been spending time growing people. Again, God is more interested in the individual. We can share the gospel with people. We can even lead them to the Lord as a new believer. That's not hard to do. What's hard to do is be a new believer and train up a new believer. You can't do that. That would be called the blind leading the blind. You know, that's like somebody that just got their permit the day before, taking somebody else who just got their permit that day and saying, hey, let's go for a ride. I'm going to teach you everything I know. Yeah, we know how that's going to end, don't we? So again, Jesus said that seed's got to die. The seed is us. We have got to die to ourselves. We began that when we said, Jesus, be my Savior. We began that process. It is a process. If the temperature gets too hot or too cold in the ground, the seed can die. The temperature has to be right, and then there's a process. I always like how they do it on the movies and stuff that you watch. It's just a flash of light, and then this thing comes up. But if you watch, even in the slow motion where they have the seeds where you can see them through glass, you'll see that kernel will start to split open a little bit, and then the blade shoots out, and roots start coming out. See, and here's something else. The reason why God prunes back the fruit, the reason he prunes back those other branches. Well, we like to say, well, I'm big, I'm strong. You're only as strong as your root base is. You can have the biggest tree in the forest, but it can have a weak root base and a good wind can blow it over. I think the windstorms of the last couple of years have proved just how weak some of our trees really are. Oh, that looks like a healthy tree. It's rotten in the middle. Snaps them in a hurry. People thought it was solid. Or we could drive by and there's a tree 60 feet tall laying over in a field. All because its root was not strong. Because if it had been pruned, those roots would have been able to go deeper and grab hold of. Now, Philippians 1:6. I marked it. I can flip there. Here we go. Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. And he is saying, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep working on you until the day, Phil, God's going to work on you until the day Jesus takes you out of here. So don't worry. Thank God he's still working on you. He's still working on all of us. There's not one believer on this earth who can stand there and say, I have arrived. Because the truth of the matter is, Paul had a revelation. We're going to be works in progress the rest of our lives. If you're 85 years old and God's not still working on you, something's wrong. Most of the time, by the time we get to that age, people say, well, they're old and crotchety, grouchy. You know, and there may be some legitimate reasons as to why they are, but is there any basis, any truth in why they should be like that? Should they really be like that? Not if God's working on them. Not whatsoever. Their character should not change. As a matter of fact, they should get better. And so we are all works in progress. Everything about the earth is a work in progress. I know we like to run around and think, oh, we're the first ones here. Man, you do realize there were Indian settlements around here, right? We aren't the first ones to build here. Oh, well, you know, we're the first ones to settle it and we're the first ones to cut trees down. No, we weren't. But until the day Jesus Christ returns, he's going to be clipping the fruit that's not ready yet. He's going to be clipping those branches that's going to suck the life out of you. Things that we think are good, by the way. Oh, that's good. You know, a lot of times when we look at trees, if you got a tree in your yard, you always, and you got kids, you're always looking for one that you can hang your swing on. You know, you want one to kind of go straight out, don't you? Because then your swing can sit level. But do you know that's the kind of branch you should cut off? That's the thing that we think would be the best for us is the thing we should cut off because it's not strong. Branches should reach up. Branches should never cross over. And God knows that. Why? Because eventually they're going to cause problems. God does that in our lives. God takes things out. Things grow in naturally. Don't sit there, well, I'm just such a sinner. No. God will take it out and it will not hurt if you are letting God do it. Remember the whole dying to yourself thing. You have to do that. That's why the Apostle Paul talked about that. Dying to ourselves daily. Lord God, is there anything today that I might do or anything in my life that is not bringing you glory and is not a part of you? Something that has birthed out of me. See, that's the thing. We all like to blame it on the devil. We blame it on everybody else. But James put it this way. We're all, the fruit, the things we produce are because of what's inside of us. So if you snapped at somebody and bit their head off, and you're like, well, I don't normally do that. That's because you've just hit a new level. You peeled back that onion just a little bit more and found another layer. That's the way we all are. But we have to be truthful with ourselves. And then we have to understand, I'm a work in progress. Nothing is finished on me. Nothing is done. There has been no final stamp put on my plans. I can keep expanding and I can keep growing. So whether you're listening to this online or whether you're even here tonight, I want you to be encouraged. God is not done with you. The fact that you're feeling those pains, those growing pains, is fantastic. It means you're still alive. You get up in the morning and you feel the aches and the pains. Rejoice. You're still alive. Unless you're looking to die, then I personally figure God put me here for a purpose. He put Adam here for a purpose. And me dying isn't going to accomplish that purpose. So I think I'll just continue living. And as I've told Angela, I said, should I get to the point to where, you know, people are having to change my pants and all that stuff? I said, you'd better let go of me. I said, that's not how a man wants to live. Let me go. I said, if that's the case. So, don't beat yourself up that, well, I'm not perfect yet, and I keep finding these. You're going to keep finding. You're going to find them come in at different ways. Sucker branches grow up everywhere. It doesn't matter. They got to be taken care of, and God will take care of it. There's a time to prune. That's why God's not constantly pruning on you all the time. There's a time to do it and a time not to. That's why Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything under heaven. Are you under heaven? Last time I checked, we were. Because if that's heaven on earth, oh boy. So don't let the devil keep kicking you around, slapping you around, saying that you failed. Okay, you failed the test. You recognize that. Keep going. Or maybe you found something that, an aspect of your personality you never knew existed. There's been things I did not know existed in me until more recent years. I said, oh, Lord. One of them was a temper. I mean, not just fly off and, you know, like a tea kettle and you're done. I'm talking a real temper to where I wanted to hurt things and people. I had no idea that was in there. And then you know what gets to happen? Right here, I'll tell you a little test that I think I passed. I know I passed it. Sunday, we went to Wendy's for lunch. And the two pastors that I shared the service with for Vicky's dad were in Wendy's. And I was walking around talking to them. And when I was getting to sit down, I have no idea to this day how that happened. But my tea dumped off of my tray onto Justin. My hamburger, my sandwich fell in the seat. And there I stood, my son soaked in sweet tea, my sandwich is in the seat, and I got two pastors watching my reaction. Now, I know what I was about to think. I just set the tray down, and it was amazing. All these napkins start flying in from everywhere. And I just stood there. I was like, in total disbelief. How did that jump off of there? To this day, I still think a demon came up and knocked it off. Because I was so careful. I was carrying my tray flat. I was on the level. It was level. And it was my drink that spilled, not the big one that should have dumped. So I sat it down and I took Justin in there to clean him up. He, like I said, he's wearing his shorts and his t-shirt and he's soaked in sweet tea. Eventually, he's going to get sticky. I took him in there and I rinsed off his shirt. Any of you ever seen any of the Mr. Bean movies? There's one in particular where he's trying to dry himself off with the electric dryer. And he's standing up. You got to imagine my Justin standing underneath the dryer holding his shirt and trying to dry his shorts off. I just tell you that. By the way, not to be bragging, but, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, I think I passed the test. Something that I saw that had come up to fly off and get bent out of shape over spilt tea. It was something that came up, and God said, we need to deal with it now. That's why you're going to find things. That's why you're going to find things set you off easier, why you seem to can't tolerate people as like you used to. Because your true nature, God's digging down deeper. And the more you dig, trust me, I had to do some digging over here just so those new doors could open because the ground outside was about 6 to 8 inches higher than what the floor was. And as I started digging, I bet you I picked up 15, 20 pounds of metal. Started finding things as I started digging. And that's what God happens to us. God starts digging, and these things that are nasty and disgusting start coming to the top. And they got to be picked up and dealt with. You can't leave them there. But just remember, it's a process. If you think that suddenly you're going to jump out of a phone booth with a super Christian cape and suit on, yeah, it's not going to happen. God cares enough about you that he's going to prune you and he's going to take the time to do it right. So just keep that in mind. All right. And that's it. I'm done. Let's stand. As again, I have been looking. I've watched the video even again yesterday on YouTube, and the more I watched it, the more excited I got about it because there was parts I had never seen before and really started sharing some interesting information about it. And like I said, I'll let you can be your own judge on that. I personally side with this guy on where the crossing and the things that took place. And we will continue in that, because if you're, it's more than just a factual lesson. You actually get, when you know the facts, you know the truth. You see how God provided, the things that God did, things we have to think about, that it was dark in the entire land of Egypt except the land of Goshen. It was day and night difference. Yeah, they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. They could, I can find my bedroom door with no problem, even without lights, but they couldn't. The darkness was so heavy upon them. Not good for depressed people who are depressed, I can tell you that right now, or claustrophobic people. But God took care of His people. Always remember that stuff. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You and we praise You once again, Lord God, for Your great love for us, Father, how You continue to work on us, how You change us, how You grow us, Father, how You know just what we need and when we need it. Father, I thank You that we're all changing from one degree of glory to the next until we are in the image of Christ. Father, that when people see us, they see Jesus. They know what love is. We don't have to tell them we're a Christian. We don't have to wear a cross on our neck. We don't have to put a bumper sticker on our car. They know that we are Christians. So, Father, I thank You and praise You for that. And, Lord, I pray that You help us all now to realize that when we're dealing with things, when we're growing, Father, that it's for our good. The thing that You revealed, the thing we just saw come out, it's something that has to be dealt with, and that You will help us. So, Lord, I pray right now Your blessings upon these people. Father God, as they go forth tomorrow at work, bless them. Keep them safe, Lord God. Prosper them in Jesus' name. And those that aren't going to work, bless them as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there for you.